1 Peter 3:15. In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. These two, being witnesses and living lives that invite questions, are important in balance. These can only be accomplished by complete dependence upon and participation with the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, His guidance, His character, His anointing, and His empowering in our lives. I'm convinced this is a really good time to be a part of a church family. It's not a good time to have an independent church mentality. As pressure grows and mounts against the Christian faith, we are better together. As opportunities to be light in a dark world increase, we do so better together. Together, we better reflect the New Testament church and more powerfully achieve our calling. As an Alliance family, we sense that we are part of something significant, lasting, monumental, worldwide. We're a part of the eternal kingdom of Christ that is violently opposed, but undeniably still advancing. Yes, it's attacked, but unstoppable. We feel the increase of tension in our communities, whether it's the various agendas of loud minorities or the constant desire by some to silence the church, to silence our message and belittle all things of faith. You sense this mounting pressure against the Church of Christ. Simultaneously, do you not feel for such a time as this, as a stirring in your heart? For such a time as this, the Alliance was called into existence. For such a time as this, you and I were called into service. For such a time as this, our local church has been placed in this community. For such a time as this, the Spirit is empowering us still. For such a time as this. The Spirit we've been given is powerful for times such as these. I believe, with all my heart, that we as a worldwide Alliance family are one of the Father's appointed end time families that He is using to complete the Great Commission and to welcome the return of Christ. But if we have been raised up by God for this end times era of Earth's history, we'd better listen to Him and get this right. How then shall we live? How shall we be? Who shall we be? What is the Spirit saying to us? What has God raised us to do? So today, let's talk about one aspect. Let us love. As a Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family together, we will choose to love. Now you say, well, duh, Mr. President, of course we're supposed to love. Tell us something we don't know. Well, we will climb a few hills together, and in faith, we will move a few mountains. But if we have not love, 1 Corinthians 13 says, we have nothing. We have accomplished nothing. We could display amazing spiritual gifting according to 1 Corinthians 13. But don't love, it's just noise. We could change our communities, move mountains. But don't do it in a loving manner, it's meaningless. We can show incredible dedication and sacrifice, but if it flows out of something other than love, for example, from arrogance or pride, needing to prove ourselves or prove something, to impress others, to show off, being driven by shame, or to make a name for ourselves, then in God's estimation, we've gained nothing if there's no love. Scripture consistently gives primacy to love. The greatest commandment is love, according to Matthew 22. The greatest of these, faith, hope, and love, is love, according to 1 Corinthians 13. Love is the most excellent way, 1 Corinthians 12. It's to be our primary identifier. They will know we are disciples of Jesus by our love, John 13 says. So let me ask you, is this church a loving church? Now, before you rattle off your standard reply, let's examine ourselves. Don't confuse friendly with being loving. I didn't ask if your church is a friendly church. Being friendly may be an expression of love or actually be a cheap substitute for it. When a church is known for anything else than love, she is being less than she was redeemed to be. The church in Australia is often known for different things. We've been known for firm stands, strict rules, guarded doctrine, sometimes good, sometimes not so good. We've been known for buildings and programs. We've been known for political views and defensive postures. We've been known for scandals and moral failures. We've been known for good coffee and community involvement. We've been known for great music, wonderful children's ministries, dynamic preaching, sports programs, and successful recovery ministries. All good, great. But any reputation we have that is greater than the one of love is an impoverished reputation. Only a loving church will bring a long-term positive change to its community. Every time we open our mouths, we have the capacity to do more harm than good. Do you not agree that some believers and churches have done more harm to the name of Christ than good? On what basis is your church exempt from that possibility? Love is not the only criteria for a church to have a positive impact, but without love, no other criteria will really matter. A loving church will be embraced by future generations. I'm a baby boomer, but only just, mind you. In our era, if the program was good enough, some of my generation overlooked some of the mean-spirited or pettiness of the church. I think that day is ending, and frankly, I'm glad. Praise God, a generation that values authenticity, true community, that has risen among us. And if you want to minister to next geners, start with love. But love works both ways. Church leaders, let's get honest by asking ourselves some questions. What kind of church are we passing on to the next generation? What kind of church will the next generation end up owning? What can we do to treat the next generation with gentleness and respect? And what can we do to more involve next generation people? Next generation, get honest by asking yourself these questions. What kind of church are we seeking to build? What kind of causes will be the ones we'll be involved with? What can we do to treat previous generations with gentleness and respect? What can we do to reach our generation with the word, truth, and Christ's presence? Rather than next generations leaving churches and starting their own show, or established churches requiring strict adherence to old ways, what are we going to do about being loving in our current church family? You see, if you can't do it locally in your own church family, you won't do it somewhere else. Friends, let us release and empower the next generation. Let us respect one another. A healthy church has lots of ethnic diversity, ages, singles, families, widows, rich, poor, all together in the one community of grace, just like the New Testament church. Love, acceptance, forgiveness must be experienced by every member. As we are filled with the Holy Spirit, He loves through us with the love of Jesus Himself. I'm calling us to connect with Christ, remain in Him, and let Him love through us. Together, we must love. So let's get connected. Like you, I've watched the swing back and forth in some expressions of church. One example is preaching styles and methods. They come and they go, as they should. But my fear is this. In recent decades, in some sectors of the church, the pendulum has swung far to the side of popular appeal preaching. In an effort to become relevant, we may have neglected revelation, neglected a plain and simple presentation and an illustration and a call to apply the truth of the Word of God. And be aware, I'm not talking about one style of preaching as being superior to another. Jesus and Peter strike me as being very different in their sermon approaches. However, If Alliance churches lose their commitment to the authority of God's word, we have lost the heart of this movement. If Alliance pastors and workers and members fail to dwell in the scriptures, reading, studying, reflecting, listening to the prompts of the Spirit, we've lost our voice and we'll have nothing of eternal consequence to say and to share. The second pendulum swing we've probably all observed is the trend to demonstrate the gospel with our lives or to speak it with our lips. Here the famous line comes to mind, "At all points preach Christ and when necessary use words." Now you may disagree, but my observation is that for decades, the evangelical church was so afraid of the social gospel trend that we failed to do as much good in the world as we could have. We held millions of church services while neglecting to feed millions of hungry people. We could have done the former without neglecting the latter. Today, I'm pleased to see balance returning to the evangelical church, the Alliance included, as we rediscover those outside our clubhouse walls. We still have great church services, better than ever in some ways, but the church needs to continue to see itself as a transformative member of its community, not as an isolated fortress from its community. In your community, enter into each moment or opportunity and leave it better. Teach all your people, your members, to do the same. Enter into the community in which God has placed you and leave it better. People of faith and people of goodwill can work together to make a community stronger. Get involved in community organizations. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, welcome the stranger, visit the prisoner, care for the disabled, defend the cause of the widow and the orphan and the immigrant and the refugee. Practice hospitality. Eating together, there's nothing like it. Becoming transformative members of our community is a worthy engagement in the cause of Christ and the gospel. But in all this, doing good, let us not be afraid to name the name of Jesus. Good deeds alone are not a full expression of the gospel. I went to one of my grandchildren's school for a show and tell, and it was like, this is my granddad and this is what he does. I like the idea of local churches and believers being those who show and tell the good news, to demonstrate it and to explain it. Yes, some moments we'll have more demonstration than explanation. Other moments we'll have more explanation than demonstration. Both are necessary. Alliance family, some form of evangelism with opportunity to respond to Christ's invitation for relationship should be a regular, common, quality component of every Alliance Church ministry and outreach program. Strategically set goals in the church calendar for every area of ministry to have quality worship, teaching, and have a component of outreach, and hold your leaders accountable in the process. Every leadership meeting should really be commencing with an outreach share. This will help you as leaders keep focus on the reason for your primary purpose. Ben Stewart, one of our US Alliance millennial leaders, told me this: our generation is losing the need and the ability to articulate faith. This danger applies to all of us. Some of us need to learn to better show the gospel. Some of us need to learn to better tell the gospel. All of us would do well to take seriously this idea of show and tell. The Alliance has always been about connecting with and reaching people. I'm not trying to call us to something new. I'm calling us to a greater level of clarity and engagement in what we already do. God raised up the Alliance to be one of his end time families to help bring about the completion of the Great Commission. Alliance family, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us rise to who we are. Let's be all that he has called us to be. Let's not falter. Let's not get discouraged. Let's not bicker. Yes, let's debate, let's discuss, but let's together as a family be all that God raised us to be until Jesus returns. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you sometime in the future.